Now, Helen's going to come this morning and she's going to read to us from Matthew chapter 13 and verses 31 to 35. Thanks, Helen.
Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. The parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world.
Thank you, Helen. So, Father, we pray that you would help us now to understand the truths of your word and to see those things which are eternal rather than focusing on those things which are near. And we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be thinking about seeds and weeds. And the parable that we read this morning are sandwiched in between another parable and an explanation of that parable's meaning. We'll look at that one next week. And like many of Jesus' parables in Matthew's gospel, they begin with these words, the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, each of these pictures helps us understand a particular aspect of the kingdom of heaven, like, for example, the treasure hidden in the field and the pearl of great value. Those stories didn't tell us everything about the kingdom. Rather, they emphasized one thing about the kingdom. It is more valuable than anything that we could possibly imagine on earth. Well, in these two stories that we look at today, Jesus is going to reveal another aspect of the kingdom of heaven. That what appears insignificant is of ultimate importance. Jesus begins these parables by drawing our attention to what appears insignificant. We have a saying, don't we? Don't judge a book by its cover. But there's a reason why we have that saying. It's because we do that very thing. We judge things by appearances. And it seems to me that publishers have finally given into that idea because you'll hardly find a book without an attractive cover on it, even a notebook. Don't judge a book by its cover, we say, but if we're honest with ourselves, well, we do it every day. When we meet people, we size them up, we make judgments about them before we've even taken time to get to know them. Maybe you've done it in the last week with your children's new teachers. Well, in the two stories that Jesus tells us here, he draws our attention to what appears insignificant. The first is a mustard seed. Jesus describes it as the smallest of all seeds or the least of all seeds. In other words, it appears insignificant. You could easily overlook it. You might think absolutely nothing of it. It's the same with the yeast. Jesus tells a story of a woman making bread. It seems like an awful lot of bread. Flour is obviously the most important ingredient. After all, it's the biggest of all of the ingredients. 30 kilograms of flour, we read. But there are other ingredients, important ingredients, even though they're smaller, that might appear insignificant. But they're essential to the recipe, like the yeast. Apparently, you only need about 10 grams of yeast per kilogram of flour. We might think nothing of it. It's hardly worth even putting in. But it would be foolish to think little of the yeast because of its size. Leon Morris points out that it is easy to be hypnotized by size. I remember when our boys were much younger and they went to swimming lessons on a Wednesday after school. It was usually Alwyn who took them, but for some reason I got to take them on this Wednesday afternoon, and we ended up, as most dads do, in the food court of Man Point afterwards. Abracababra was the place of choice for our food because on Wednesday it had a special meal deal. All meals were $4.95. Well, the boys studied the menu. Burger meal, $4.95. Cheeseburger meal, $4.95. Doner kebab meal, $4.95. And then they spotted it. Double quarter pounder with bacon and cheese meal, $4.95. Well, they were immediately hypnotized by size. They could see nothing else on the menu. And their dad, who was only concerned about the cost of the meal, didn't see any harm in them having it. It's easy to be hypnotized by size. We automatically think that bigger is better. The bigger the salary, the more important the job. The bigger the house, the better the lifestyle. The bigger the church, the more successful the pastor. It's easy to be hypnotized by size. But bigger isn't always better. It's so easy to look at what appears insignificant and to conclude that it is insignificant. Similarly, we can look at something that is huge and think that because of its size, it must be significant. But unlike us, Jesus isn't hypnotized by size, nor does he subscribe to the bigger is better philosophy of life. Jesus is warning against thinking that because something appears insignificant, that it is insignificant. After all, Jesus has gathered around him 12 individuals on whom the success of his mission seems to rest. And they are not very promising. Yes, Jesus has a following of people who are interested in his teaching, but they appear insignificant in comparison with the world in which they live. Jesus is starting to attract opposition of the Jewish religious leaders. It's becoming clearer that to be a follower of Jesus is to find yourself ostracized by your community, the Jewish people, the dominant religion in Israel. And if you were to look out further again, there is the Roman Empire, the political force of the kingdom. Now that really is something. After all, its rule extends over much of the known world. And you enjoy the peace of the Roman world only because you bow before the Roman emperor. In comparison with the religious and political establishment of Jesus' day, his followers appear insignificant. They are nothing. And maybe at least at times you have felt that same sort of insignificance. Perhaps following Jesus has meant you have stepped out of a particular religious community which has been costly for you. The church you were part of was something. It wasn't just about who you worshipped, it defined who you were. Your very identity was wrapped up in it, and now, well, you're part of this. The bigness of what you've left can leave you feeling the insignificance of what you're part of now. You must certainly feel the pressure of the politically correct views of the Western world. A new morality has taken the throne and you are expected to bow the knee before it. It's the reign of gender identity and sexual freedom. Now, if you watched any of the European Championships this summer, and I can tell you that I did, you must have noticed that the advertising boards were more clearly promoting the rainbow flag than they were the brands of the products who were paying to advertise. I couldn't tell you who was advertising what, but the rainbow flag was everywhere to be seen. In a recent article, Kevin DeYoung pointed out the same thing regarding the Olympics. He writes, "You couldn't watch 2 weeks of the Olympics, or even 2 minutes, without being catechized in the inviolable truths of the sexual revolution." We're constantly surrounded with this kind of messaging, and the force behind it seems so big, so strong, so unstoppable, that you can be left feeling that the sexual ethics of the Christian church is, well, dull and boring. So black and white in comparison with that colourful rainbow flag. It's so easy to be hypnotised by size, so that we as the followers of Jesus are left feeling completely insignificant. Well, that's where Jesus' story comes in. Because in each story, what appears insignificant is of ultimate importance. The mustard seed that looked as though it was nothing grows into one of the largest garden plants, ultimately a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. What appears insignificant is of ultimate importance. And that yeast which the woman added to the flour worked all through the dough, causing the whole of the bread to rise. What appeared insignificant was of ultimate importance. This small group of Jesus' followers would ultimately bring the good news about Jesus throughout the entire world. Jesus would tell them to go to the ends of the earth. And that ultimately there would be a great multitude that no one could count who would gather round the one true throne on which was seated the Lamb who was slain. They would be from every nation, tribe, people and language. And when someone asks who these people are, here's what John is told. "These are they who have come through the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." It can feel at times as though you're going against the flow of all of society around you. In school and in college, everyone is being catechized into the inviolable truths of the sexual revolution. You are not allowed to think differently. And you can simply grow weary swimming against the flow. You can be tempted to give in. But then lift your eyes and look at this image of people from every nation, tribe, people and language who have come through this great tribulation and stand before the only throne that really matters. What appears insignificant is of ultimate importance. In your workplace, you try to share the good news about Jesus with a work colleague. But you're accused of arrogance for suggesting that Jesus is the only way to be made right with God. They say all of the other religions can't be wrong. Your friend has been hypnotized by size. And you can be made to feel that the good news of Jesus is unnecessary and insignificant. It can be easy to give in and to go quiet. But then lift your eyes and look at this image of people from every nation, tribe, people and language who have come through this great tribulation and stand before the only throne that really matters. What appears insignificant is of ultimate importance. Your witness in a workplace, your conversation with a fellow student, your friendship with a neighbour, it can all feel so small, so insignificant, as though it doesn't really matter. A small church plant in a tourist town, thronged with people in the summer and quiet in the winter, where progress is slow and there's discouragement from setbacks. Well, a church plant in a town like Kinsale can feel so small and so insignificant that it would be easy to conclude that it doesn't really matter. But then lift your eyes and look at this image of people from every nation, tribe, people and language who have come through this great tribulation and stand before the only throne that really matters. What appears insignificant is of ultimate importance. Maybe you can remember that dream that Nebuchadnezzar had in the book of Daniel. There was a large statue made of all kinds of material, gold, silver, bronze, iron, and clay. And in that dream, a rock was cut out of the earth, which rolled down the hill and struck the statue. It broke into tiny pieces, and the wind swept them away without leaving a trace. And as for the rock that hit the statue, it became a huge mountain which filled the whole of the earth. The statue represented all of the kingdoms of the earth, which would ultimately fade away to be replaced by a kingdom that would never end. A kingdom that would fill the whole of the earth. That kingdom is the kingdom of God over which Jesus will reign as king. What appears insignificant is of ultimate importance. In fact, this image that Jesus uses in regard to the mustard seed, where the birds come and perch in its branches, well, that's commonly used in the Old Testament of people from other nations seeking safety in another kingdom. And isn't that what you and I and every follower of Jesus has done? We have sought refuge in the kingdom of heaven. We have willingly submitted to Jesus as king, and we gladly live under his rule. And isn't that the good news that we've got to share with others in our schools and colleges, in our homes and workplaces, and in every town and community where we live? That ultimate safety and security can be found only in Jesus, in living gladly under his rule. What appears insignificant is of ultimate importance, revealing God's purpose since the creation of the world. Perhaps you've been at an opening of a building where that curtain is pulled back to reveal a plaque with the name of some rich benefactor towards the building project. It's meant to be something momentous and important, but it's always a bit of a letdown, because the plaque is only telling you what everybody else already knows. But there are other revelations that are far more exciting, aren't there? A couple of weeks ago in the football world, Juventus announced that Cristiano Ronaldo would be leaving. It was only a question of where he was going. Well, as far as everyone was concerned, there were only two clubs in the whole world who could afford to have him: PSG and Manchester City. They were the only two realistic buyers. It was looking more and more like Man City were going to get their man, when suddenly, out of nowhere, came the announcement that Ronaldo had agreed to join not Manchester City, but Manchester United. A surprising and shocking revelation. Apple were always good at having big reveals of their new products. Weeks before the latest iPhone was due to be revealed, hints would start to be leaked online at what was going to be newer and better about this latest phone. The intention was always to get everyone excited about it so that they would simply have to have it. There was a drip feeding of information before the final reveal. But our passage this morning ends with an explanation about why Jesus spoke in parables and stories. And what's pointed to here is that it was all about fulfilling something spoken by a prophet. It's a reference to Psalm 78, and we see it in verse 35. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Jesus is revealing something hidden since the creation of the world. But just like Apple's latest iPhone, there has been a drip feeding of information for centuries before the final reveal. From the very first time that God called Abram, promising to make him into a great nation, there was a promise that through Abraham, all people on earth would be blessed. Here at the very moment that God chooses one man, Abram, and his descendants to be a people belonging to God, we get the first hint that God's purposes are so much bigger than one nation, Israel. God is interested in blessing all peoples on earth. At times throughout the Bible, we get hints of God's plan for the nations. Like when Ruth, the Moabite, clings to Naomi and to Naomi's God. Or when Rahab abandons the city of Jericho and sides with the Israelite spies. Or when Naaman, who serves a foreign king, sought the help of an Israelite prophet, Elisha, and came to trust in the one true God. Or when God sent a reluctant prophet to a pagan nation, warning of coming judgment, only for a national revival to break out and a whole nation to turn to God. There has been a drip feeding of God's purposes all through the Old Testament, that God's concern was much bigger than one nation, but for the whole of the earth. And now, with the coming of Jesus, it was time for the big reveal. Jesus couldn't make it any clearer. Go and make disciples of all nations. However insignificant you feel, however small you think the work of God is, however much you feel like your involvement in a kids or youth ministry is, however much you feel the tide of society pushing against you, you need to know that what appears insignificant is of ultimate importance. Just like that mustard seed and that yeast, the kingdom of God is ultimately the only thing that will last, and the throne of Jesus, the only one at which we must bow the knee. Let's pray together. Oh Father, we confess that far too often in our own minds the kingdom of God becomes smaller and smaller, and the world around us gets bigger and bigger. That the messaging we get from the world around us becomes louder and louder, and the truths of your word grow quieter and quieter. Oh Father, help us not to lose sight of your kingdom and your righteousness, but rather may that be something that we seek with all of our hearts. May the truths of your word speak louder into our lives than the messaging that we get from the world around us. And may the sight of your kingdom, of that multitude of people from every tribe, people, nation and language gathered around your throne, oh Lord, may that be the vision that we have before us, rather than seeing your work as insignificant in this world. Oh Father, give us that clear vision of who Jesus is, of what Jesus has come to do, that we might grasp that the kingdom of God is like that rock that will sweep away all other nations and fill the whole of the earth. May we not think that those conversations in our workplace, those friendships with neighbours, that time spent in a ministry with children or young adults, that any of that is unimportant or insignificant. But rather, may we grasp that those things are of ultimate importance. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.